It's good to be home, to be honest with you. I was out for a little while trying to follow the Lord and, you know, see what the Lord wanted. And thank God he brought me back home. I thank God for it. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 20. The last couple of weeks, I've actually, on Wednesday nights where I was, I'd been teaching. So I thought about teaching tonight, but I didn't want to embarrass myself because, you know, we have pastor and, you know, we have Brother Tony Hopkins. So I said, Lord, please give me a message to preach so I don't have to teach. But no, I do believe this is where the Lord would have us tonight. Deuteronomy chapter number 20, verse 3. Your Bible says, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not and do not tremble. I want to focus on that phrase tonight. Let not your hearts faint. Lord, I thank you once again for another opportunity to be in your house. We're undeserving and we're unworthy to be here, but you're good to us. I pray that you would touch the hearts of your people who cannot do this on my own. I pray that you'd fill me with power and anoint me with the Holy Spirit of God. I'll give you the glory and the honor for everything. It's in Jesus' sweet holy name that I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you want to jump over with me to the New Testament, we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I wanted to look at the thought there. Let not your hearts faint. You know, let not your hearts be wearied. Don't faint. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't, you know, it's not time to give up yet. The scripture told us that God was in charge. God was going to lead them through the battle. God was going to take care of them. The Lord was in control. And that's why he said, faint not. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, I want to preach tonight. I just have a thought of, you know, there's some things that cause believers to faint. There's some things that cause us as Christians to give up, to get out of church, to, you know, this spiritual life is just, you know, this thing's too hard. The warfare we go through is too intimidating. There are times as Christians, if you've been a Christian any length of time, then you can agree with me and, you know, actually trying to serve the Lord, you can agree with me that there are times where it just feels like, I just want to quit. I just want to give up. This is hard. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to go to the church today. I don't want to read my Bible today. I don't want to study. Any true Christian that is trying their best to serve the Lord has reached that point. I remember a couple months ago, Brother Tony preached a sermon about Elijah, talking about how Elijah got to the point there was so much pressure that he was just about to break, just about to pop. I heard so many men preach out of that same passage and talk about don't give yourself a pity party and sit under that tree. Brother Tony came at it at a completely different angle. He said, sometimes we get to the point to where we're just about to break. Sometimes we get to that point in our Christian life where we're just about to pop. It's like holding your breath underwater. And when you come up, it's like, ugh. You know, that feeling of just, you know, I can't do this anymore. I can't handle this anymore. This is too difficult. This is too hard. That is what the Christian life comes to sometimes. Sometimes we get to the point to where there's so much pressure. There's so many problems. There's so many things that we can't control. There's so many things that we don't know why they happen. You know, parents have kids and they pray and they think, why are my kids doing this? Why have they chosen the decisions they've made? We've raised them right. We've done what the Lord has told us to do. And then there's marriages where spouses are thinking, why is this happening? I don't understand. I'm doing my best to serve the Lord. There's so many questions in the Christian life. And it gets us to the point sometimes to where we're just about to give up, faint, quit, to say, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to look tonight at a few things out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that cause believers to faint. Verse number 8, the Bible says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, thank God. Cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Verse 16 says, for which cause we faint not. For which cause we faint not. The first thing I want to point out tonight that causes believers, it's very simple, that causes believers to faint is when you're troubled on every side. The scripture literally says we are troubled on every side. But Paul has optimism about it. He says, yet not distressed. I am persecuted, but not forsaken. But you know, believers sometimes faint when trouble comes from every side.
I'm not talking about the things that you put yourself in. I'm talking to the Christian tonight, the one that is doing their dead level best to serve God, to be where God wants them to be. Don't confuse chastisement with, you know, the devil attacking you. There is a big difference there. But tonight I want to talk to the believer, the one that is trying their best to serve God and do what God has called them to do and be in the will of God. The first thing is when trouble comes against us on every side, it can cause us to faint. The scripture says perplexed, persecuted. That word perplexed has the indication of being filled with uncertainty. You ever been there? You ever been to that point, Brother Roger, where it's just like, I don't have the answer. I don't know what to do. I don't know what decision to make. I know of times in my Christian life trying to serve the Lord. I remember times I can take you and tell you the moment in the hour where I've sat down and said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what decision to make. I can guarantee you there are parents in here that have said, I don't know what to do for my child. I don't know how to fix this problem. I don't know how to handle this situation. There are the things that happen in our lives where we say, I don't know what to do, and we're filled with uncertainty. But the Bible tells us we're not forsaken. And not only are we troubled on every side personally, and things come against us personally, the devil wants nothing more than to get in your mind. The devil wants nothing more than attack you at the most dangerous part of you, which is in your mind. Your mind takes it to the heart. It takes it to all of the things that the devil wants you to think of, questioning and doubting God. Let's notice a few things the devil does when he chooses to get in your mind, when he chooses to make you think the troubling is something that God is doing to you, and it's not something that he is doing to you. When we feel troubled on every side personally, this is when the devil chooses to get in there and make you make decisions and try to convince you of things. When all things are going wrong, when you don't know what decision to make, when you're filled with uncertainty, that is when the devil starts to make accusations against God. Isn't that how it all started, Brother Sam? Hath God really said? You know, if you eat that fruit, you'll be like God. He deceived her. He deceived them in the garden. That's how it all started. When you get troubled on every side, the reason we faint sometimes is because it's the devil in your mind making accusations against God. It's the devil that says, why would God do that to you? It's the devil that says, you don't deserve that. God wouldn't do that to you. God is doing this to you. He doesn't love you like he says he does. The devil loves to make accusations against God. It gives you a reason not to come to church. It gives you a reason to give up. It gives you a reason to quit sometimes. I'm talking about some of the reasons we faint as Christians. Not only does the devil make accusations against God when you're troubled on every side, but the devil makes accusations against you. There's a big difference between condemnation and conviction. You see, the Holy Spirit convicts you. That's a godly sorrow that worketh forth a repentance that says, Lord, I'm sorry, I've made a mistake. I've done something I shouldn't do. The devil doesn't do that. The devil condemns you. The devil says, you're unworthy. The devil says, God can't use you. God's not going to forgive you for this. The devil's the one that said, oh, you got out of church. Oh, you can't fix what you've done now. The devil's the one that said, you made that mistake. You can't fix the decision you've made now. The devil's the one that condemns you and beats you over the head to the point to where you faint. The point to where you say, God can't use me anymore. God cannot use me anymore. And that's when you begin to faint. The devil loves to make accusations against God to get you to think God's not listening anymore. God doesn't care about you anymore. The devil loves to get you to the point to where you're swallowed up by all of the past mistakes you've made. Don't ever forget, once you got saved, there's a new man in you. You still got the fight each and every day, but you've got to choose to let the new man take over the old man. And the devil gets up in your mind and says, remember when you did this? Remember when you did that? That can cause us to get to a point in our life where we faint. This is when we're troubled on every side. This is when we feel persecuted, when we feel like God has left us behind. The devil gets up in your mind and tries to convince you that it's time to give up. But not only do I believe that there's a personal aspect to the troubling on every side, but I want to point out that there's trouble on the church from every side. A public trouble within the church. Not public as out there in the world, but in this place, the devil loves to trouble the church from every side. The devil loves to get in here and do things and make us make decisions. And that's when the devil walks up in here. And not only we notice how the devil loves to make accusations against God and he loves to make accusations against you, but what does it mean when the devil gets in here? Don't ever forget that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. The devil loves to get inside the church and cause division. The devil loves to get inside the church and make you think this about that person, and get this person to say this to you about that person. And before you know it, there's division amongst God's people. This is something that is forgotten nowadays. But friend, let's not forget that one thing that happens when the devil causes division in the church is it causes people to fall out by the way. It causes people to get out. It causes people to faint and give up on God. Why? Because the devil got his way through the door and he's caused division. We can take our own church as example. When the devil got in here and did all the things he did, I hate it. I hate thinking about it. But this is a good example. Some of the people that have left, yes, some of them are going to good Bible-believing churches. I'm sure some of them are serving and it's where the will of God is for them. But don't you be deceived that the devil used the split of this church and there are now people that were attending this church for a long time that have fainted and now they're out dead, out by the way somewhere. Why? Because the devil caused division among the brethren. The devil decided to be the accuser of the brethren and he got this person mad at this person and this person upset with this person. Friend, what is the thing we need to know when the devil is making all of these decisions? When the devil is at work and doing all the things he's doing, discernment. One of the things that cause us to faint and cause other believers to faint is when believers have a lack of that discernment that we need. The Bible tells us in Corinthians, talking about the gifts of the Spirit, it's one of those gifts, talking directly from the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It talks about having a discernment for the spirits, being able to discern the spirits, discerning those things, knowing what's going on and what's happening. Don't get me wrong. Some people have gifts that other people don't have. God, I believe, gives some people the gift of discernment to an extent that other people will never get to. But I do believe wholeheartedly, the closer you walk with God, the closer you get to God, the more fellowship you have with God, and quit focusing on everything in this world. That's what the devil wants you to do, is focus on all of these things. In this same chapter of Corinthians, chapter number 4, Paul says, we don't think of the temporal things, but we think of the eternal things. The devil gets in there. He tries to make all these decisions for us. Before we know it, somebody's fainted. The lack of discernment makes it to where we don't even know when the devil is sitting right in front of us. We don't even know. A friend, the devil can walk right in here and sit down or right in front of us. Don't forget, in Corinthians, the Bible says that he can appear as an angel of light. He can appear as Jesus Christ. He can appear, and we think that he is perfect and that he is one of us. But friend, that lack of discernment causes division among the brethren. Not only does it cause division, but it causes people to faint. And to be honest with you, I'm burdened at the fact that there are Christians that are fainting left and right. There's Christians that are getting out. They're giving up. They're quitting on God. They're giving up on this life that God has called us to live. I don't want to see any more Christians faint. I don't care if you hate me. I don't want to see you faint. I don't care if I disagree with decisions you've made. I still don't want to see you faint. I don't want to see you get out. I don't want to see you fall out, by the way, in the wilderness somewhere. One of the ways is when we're troubled on every side. When the devil starts to work on us is when we're troubled on every side. That lack of discernment is something that we need to remember, that we need the discernment of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to know what decisions to make. We need to know when the Lord is talking to us and when the devil is talking to us. We need to know when the Lord is using somebody and when the devil is using somebody. We need to know the difference, understand the difference. Our pastor preaches all the time on the power of the Holy Spirit and being able to discern all of these things. I agree with him. That is one thing that is lacking in our churches nowadays. We do whatever. We're just happy-go-lucky. We don't have any discernment to know when the devil's doing something, when the devil's at work. We don't have enough discernment to know who to be friends with, who not to be friends with. We don't have enough discernment to know when the devil is trying to divide the people of God. Not only do we faint when we're troubled on every side, but we faint when we feel forsaken. Feeling forsaken can cause you to faint. This scripture said, I'm persecuted, verse 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. We're not forsaken by God. We're not forsaken by God, but we fall out and we faint sometimes when we feel forsaken by God. In Luke chapter number 18, verse number 1, the Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and faint not. Ought always to pray and faint not. We quote that verse all the time, Brother Barry, but you read the parable. You know what that parable gives? It gives an illustration. It gives an illustration of consistency. It gives an illustration of going again and again and again and again and not quitting and not giving up. The Lord said, pray that you faint not. Pray so you faint not. Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, sometimes when we feel forsaken and we feel like God ain't listening to us, that can cause us to faint. That can cause us to give up. But friend, be consistent, be consistent, be consistent. Don't quit on God. Don't give up. It's not time to fall out by the way yet, Brother Roger. I don't care if God hasn't answered that prayer in 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years. My grandma's been praying for people for over 15 years, and she's gone consistent, and she's gone consistent, and she's gone consistent. Don't give up on that child. Don't give up on your spouse. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on some of them things. You read the parable, it teaches consistency, which tells me that we must be consistent with our prayer. When the devil makes accusations against God, when the devil accuses you, and when the devil is the accuser of the brethren, the first thing that fades away is your prayer life. The first thing that fades away in your Christian life is prayer. All of a sudden, you don't want to pray anymore. All of a sudden, you feel like God's not listening to you anymore. I'm here to tell you tonight, come again to the throne of grace. Come again. Don't quit on God. God has not forsaken you. I don't care what the problem is. I don't care what the struggle is. I'm not denying that there are problems in this building tonight. And there are problems with people and lives and decisions that need to be made. But don't quit on God. Don't forsake Him. Don't think that He's forsaken you. Don't decide to quit now, but come again. Come again. Be consistent. Come again to the throne of grace, Brother Sean. It don't matter what's happened. You can always come down. God is always listening. God is always listening. Don't let the devil get in your mind and say, God ain't listening to you. God loves you. God has never forsaken you. God will never leave you. Don't give up on that prayer you've been praying. Don't give up on it yet. Don't give up on it yet. Before you know it, you give up on that one thing you've been praying for. Before you know it, you might faint. You might fall out by the way somewhere. Well, one of the reasons is when we feel forsaken. I'm here to tell you tonight that you are never forsaken by God. Amen. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I've got people in this building tonight that love me and care for me. And I know I can call them at any time and go to them and get help, but ain't nobody love me like God loves me. And nobody can give me peace like Jesus can give me. I've been in the position of my Christian life, friend, where I didn't know what decision to make. And I said, Lord, I don't have the answers to this. And I felt forsaken. I felt like God wasn't listening to me anymore. I opened this verse right here, and Paul said, hey, I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. People hate me right now. People have fought against me right now, but God has never forsaken me. And to think that we would complain after what the Apostle Paul has been through, friend, of being put in jail, being beaten, all the things that he went through. We are not even persecuted compared to the Apostle Paul. And he was able to say, I am persecuted, but not forsaken. What was the secret? I believe there was a secret that Paul had. I guess you could say secret. That's just really one way for you to remember it. The secret that Paul had to have spiritual victory when he knew that he was being persecuted. When he knew the devil wanted him to feel like God had disowned him and left him there and wanted him to die. Paul decided to have his suffering experience with Christ. He didn't say, this is me suffering. He didn't say, God has only chosen to persecute me. God has only chosen to let these things happen to me. But he said, hey, the closer I get to death, the closer I get to being truly persecuted, friend, I can testify tonight. The more the devil beats me over the head and the more the devil uses people and uses things to discourage me and try to get me to quit, the closer I get to wanting to faint, the easier it is for me to say, I am not forsaken by God. And God has never left me. And God will never leave you. Don't take the persecution that's coming against you and say, God has left you. Why don't you say, hey, it ain't even compare to what Jesus went through. I get to suffer as Christ has suffered. I get to go through persecution as Christ has gone through persecution. But I truly believe that Paul was able to look past the persecution because the freedom Paul had was from the inside. He said, we don't focus on temporal, we focus on eternal. We don't focus on the things of this world, but we focus on the things to come. We focus on the things that God has for us. Freedom is from within the soul. Freedom is not physical. Freedom is not, I get to go to work today, or I'm off work, or, I get to drive this car and drive that car. True freedom is from the inside. Amen. Paul sat in the prison, yet he was more free than the jailer. That freedom was from within. He was persecuted, but he knew in his soul that he was free by Jesus Christ. He knew that one day when he died, he knew that if he just pushed on and fainted not, that one day when he got to glory, it'd be worth it all. He focused on the true freedom that was from within. Just because the servant sits at the king's table doesn't mean the servant is now free. He's still a servant. Sure, he got to eat a meal, but when he's done, he's going back to be the servant friend. That is not the freedom we have. We don't have physical freedom of the things of this world. We have a freedom from deep within our soul that should give you peace and joy and let you remind you and let you know that Jesus Christ and God the Father will never forsake you. He will never forsake you. He loves you more than anybody in this world. He's never quit on you. He's never gave up on you. God is good to me. God has been good to me. This is more a testimony than anything. I've been in the position where I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. There's people in this building I've went to and said, I don't know what decision to make. I don't know what God wants me to do. And I felt like God wasn't listening. But friend, I'll tell you right now, God has never forsaken me. God has never left me behind. God has never left me in the dirt. He's never abandoned me. He adopted me into his family. Thanks be unto God. And I'm never getting out of it. God has been good to me. And God has been good to you. Faint not. Why? I'll give you one good reason. I'll give you one good reason tonight why we ought not faint. Galatians 6:9. Your Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen to me. I don't care what's happening. I don't care what's going on. I don't care about the problems. I don't care about the struggles. This applies to everybody in the building tonight. This applies to every Christian from the youngest to the oldest. The devil is going to come against you and try to get you to quit on God. The devil's going to do everything he can to get you out in the world and get you to forsake Jesus and get you to get out and not come back. The devil's going to do everything he can to convince you that this isn't worth it, that this life isn't worth living, that living the way God has told us to isn't worth living. But friend, I tell you, in due season, you will reap. Don't be weary in well-doing, for one day we will reap what we have done for God. And faint not. Why? Because one day, Brother Roger, all the things we went through here, you're going to thank God you didn't quit. You'll thank God you didn't faint. You'll thank God that you didn't give up on him, because one day, friend, all the things of this world ain't going to mean a thing. The things of this world ain't going to mean nothing. The popularity, all the money, all the great jobs, all the things that you can do ain't going to mean a thing. In due season, God will give you what you've sowed. God will give you, be not weary in well-doing. There have been times where I've looked at other preachers and I've said, why don't I get that? I've looked at other preachers and I said, well, Lord, I study and I try my best, but I just don't understand it the way that man understands it. I can't grasp it the way he grasps it. And I get jealous and I look at people, but I've got to remember, friend, in due season, faint not. And sometimes our labor feels unfruitful. Sometimes you've got to go through, I guess you could call, a rut. It doesn't mean it's time to quit on God. It means when you get on the other side, the reward is going to be greater. When you get on the other side, when you get up over the valley and get up over the mountain, friend, the reward on the top of the mountain is going to be way greater than somebody that just went over a little molehill. The person that you think is just getting all the blessings, you better thank God. You better thank God that persecution has happened to you. You living for God, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Thank God that persecution has come against you. Why? Because that means God is trying to do something inside of you. When this world comes against us, when the devil tries to persecute us, tries to get us to quit, what does it mean? It means that God is working inside of you, and God is trying to do something in you. He's trying to put you where you're supposed to be and give you what you need. Be not weary in well-doing. Amen. Because one day you'll reap all the things that you've sowed. You see, that's a great truth. That's a really happy thing, and it can be a really sad thing. Some people are going to reap what they sow when they stand at their judgment. Some people are going to reap what they sow, and it's a great thing. We're all failures. All right? We all failures in here. All of us have given up on something, quit somewhere down the road, failed God at some point. We're all a bunch of failures. And the devil wants to get in your mind and tell you that you're not worth nothing. The devil wants to do anything he can to get you to quit. I plead with every Christian that can hear me right now. Don't quit. Don't faint. Be not weary in the well-doing that God has given you. Don't give up on God. Because in due season, God's going to give you the rewards of what you've sowed. God's going to give back way more than what you had before. Living for God is the best, greatest life you can ever live in this world. You've given up on God. If you've given up, if you're about to faint, I already know that your prayer life has started to go downhill. If you're even thinking about giving up on God, the first thing the devil attacks is the prayer life. Why? Because it's the direct communication with God. I know that the devil has attacked your prayer life if you're thinking about quitting. I plead with you tonight, don't quit, don't faint. Come again to the throne of grace. Say, Lord, I'm tired, I'm weary. God, I don't know what to do. God, it's hard. God, I kind of want to quit. My kids aren't doing what I want them to do. The family's not turning out the way I wanted it to turn out. My marriage isn't going the way that I wanted it to go. The decisions that I need to make are hard. The things didn't go the way that I wanted them to go. I plead with you tonight, don't faint, because God has not forsaken you. And just because the devil is attacking you on all ends, on all corners, and troubling you on every side, does not mean that God has forsaken you. Faint not tonight. If you've given up, if you're thinking about giving up, what's the answer to your problem? The cross of Calvary. All of it wraps around to itself. What do you do when division's in the church? You take it to the cross. What do you do when the devil makes accusations against God? Take him to the cross. What do you do when the devil condemns you and tries to make you think you ain't worth nothing? Take him to the cross. What happens when the devil is the accuser of the brethren? Take him to the cross. What happens when you want to quit and it's time and you feel like you're about to faint? What do? Go to the cross. Get down at the foot of Calvary and start praying and talking to God. And friend, you sit there, you wait till God starts talking to you. And when you finally see the foot of the cross, you hang on to that thing. You grab the foot of that cross and you stay there until God gives you peace in your soul. You stay there until God gives you what you need. And I can tell you tonight, He's the only one that can give you what you need when you feel like you're about to faint. When you feel like you're about to quit in the ministry, when you feel like you're about to give up on God, it don't matter what anybody says to you. What you need to do is take it to the cross. Take it to Calvary. Take the devil to the cross. Take the problems to the cross. Take your dirty, rotten self to the cross. Go to the cross of Calvary. Sit there and wait for God to talk. When He starts talking to you, when you finally get to see the cross, take a hold of it. Grab onto it. Don't let it go. Because that's the greatest place you'll ever be in your life. We have an altar they know not of. You can get to that cross of Calvary anywhere you want to. It don't matter if somebody just T-boned you in the side of the road and you were thinking, this is the last straw for me today. You can get to the cross right there. You can get to the cross in this building. You can get to the cross on the altar. You can get to the cross in your seat, friend. But if you're about to faint tonight, I plead with you, go to the cross. Go to Calvary. Because Jesus has not forsaken you. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity you've given us to be in your house tonight. We're unworthy, we're undeserving to be here. You're good to us, Lord. I know and I believe with all my heart there's people in here that it's just part of the Christian life, Lord. We get to the point where we're about to faint. We're about to give up. We want to quit. And I know there's some of us that are on the mountaintop, way up there in the mountains and the clouds, and it seems like all is glory and all is great, but there are some that are way, way down in the valley. I pray that they don't fall out by the way. They don't faint, Lord. I pray that they would take it to the cross of Calvary. Talk to you once again. Don't give up on the prayer life. Understand that the answers they need is only going to come from you. We love you, Lord. We'll give you the glory, the honor for everything. It's in Jesus' sweet, holy, righteous name that I pray. Amen.